Hey, I'm so glad to see y'all today. I'm glad to see anybody. This morning I got up, it was so foggy the birds were walking out there. But I'm glad you're here, and I want to welcome those worshiping with us online as well. Now, I've got to tell you that today I've already received so many compliments on my sermon last Sunday. People just couldn't get over the good sermon I preached last Sunday. We had some guest preachers here, some friends of mine, two brothers were preaching. They did a marvelous job Sunday night, and Monday night. If you didn't get a chance to hear them, go online, make sure and take advantage of that, because they were a blessing and we appreciated them very much. Now listen, next Sunday, spring forward, okay? A word to the wise, because I don't want you coming in as I'm going out, okay? I want you to be here on time. I got a good sermon next week. I know it's an exception, but I got a good one next week. I want you to be here for that message. We're going to have a great time together. We're so glad to have the college students. They're from Virginia Tech and Radford. I got a buddy who used to teach at Radford a long time ago. You know where I was born? Virginia. I was born in Virginia, yeah. I was born in Arlington, Virginia, and it was just a few years ago, really. We're close in the same age. We've got so much in common with all you college students back there. Now, let me ask you a question. As we get started today, what keeps you up at night? Now, here's what I want you to think about. What am I worried about? I want you to think about that for just a minute, and I want you to ask God to bring that to mind. And just think, now, what is it that I'm worried about? There's one thing that I'm worried about more than anything else, and I need to deal with it today. So I want you to think about it. I want you to get it in your mind. I want you to just put your hands out like that and hang on to it, that thing you're worried about, because a little bit later we're going to let go of it, okay? And here's what I want you to do. The whole message, I want you to think about, what is it I'm worried about? And I want you to listen to the scriptures I'm going to give you today, and I want you to listen to the message, and I want you to hear what God says to you today about what you can do with the things that you're worried about. Some people, they're worried about war or political unrest or economic uncertainty. Maybe you've got an aging parent and you're worried about, hey, what's the doctor going to say when I take them to their next appointment? Or maybe my kids going to be safe? Maybe they're still at home, or maybe they're off at school and you pray for them and wonder. Or how about this one? Can I pay my bills? Anybody want to sign up for that one? That's always a good one. Hey, if you're a college student, how in the world am I ever going to pay my college debt off? All these school loans that I've God. Man, I'm worried about that. Whatever it is, I wonder, how will you let go of that worry? Maybe today you're thinking, when I get out of school, will I be able to get a job? And then if you've got a job, you're sitting there thinking, am I going to lose my job? And then if you're thinking about losing your job, you're wondering, am I going to be able to retire someday? And there's always something that you can worry about. Maybe it's, am I going to be able to make a difference in the world, or am I just going to be insignificant? I know what you're thinking. You're all sitting there saying, you know, I didn't know I had any worries till you started talking today. You've really depressed me. I'm discouraged now. Well, listen, hang on, because I'm not just going to tell you the problem. I am going to tell you the solution. What have you got to worry about? Now, here's why I'm asking you this question, and this is the crux of it, and you ought to write this down, put it in your phone, do something, because it's the truth. You measure whatever it is you're worrying about by this particular thing that I'm getting ready to tell you. What we worry about the most often reveals where we trust God the least. So that's how you diagnose that. I need to have more faith in God in this area, because this is what I worry about so much. Whatever you worry about most often, that's where you trust God the least. So today, I want you to think about that, and I want you to give that to God and say, God, I need your help to get rid of this worry about this particular thing in my life. The scripture, Jesus said in Matthew, therefore I tell you, one of you, he said, do not worry about your life. That's what he said. And then he goes on and says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, we know the answer to that. Will worry help us? No. We know that, but still, sometimes we can't stop worrying. There was a woman named Corrie Ten Boom, lived a long time ago. During World War II, she and her family went to a concentration camp, and she was held prisoner there. And she is a Christian, but there she is in a very, very tough circumstance. She and her sister died there. It was really brutal what they went through. And here's what she said. Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its strength. Worry empties today of its strength. So when you're worrying, then you've just taken all the strength that God has for you and you've just thrown it out the window because you're hanging on to that worry. Now, living without worry sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And we want to do it and we believe in God, but it's a real challenge for us to do that. To do it, we've got to answer a foundational question. In Genesis, God created Adam. Adam was in the Garden of Eden. He said, you can eat from any tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then God put Adam to sleep, and he took his brains out and made a woman. Is that what your Bible says and mine? You know, that's always popular with at least half the people in the congregation whenever I share that. And what happened was that apparently Adam told Eve the rule that God had made. And one day she's in the garden. We talked about this last week in Genesis 3. And the serpent shows up in the garden. And the serpent begins to talk to Eve. And what does he say? The serpent says, did God really say that you can't eat the fruit on this tree? Did he really say that? And you see what he's doing? He's introducing the whole concept of a question. Well, did God really say it? Is that true? Did God really say that? Can I really trust God? Is God trustworthy? And a few verses later in the garden, she looked at the tree and she saw it. Now here, I want you to notice what she said. First of all, the first thing she said was she saw that it was good to eat. The second thing she said was it is pleasing to the eye. And the third thing she said was it's desirable for gaining wisdom. Now, what's happened here? She stopped thinking about what God said, what he told her that was best for her, and she started listening to the temptation of the enemy. And the more she listened to the enemy, the more she started thinking about what the enemy was telling her, the more she started migrating toward doing what she knew she was not supposed to do. She had a choice to make. Am I going to trust God, or am I going to trust what I see? Am I going to trust God, or am I going to trust what I can touch? And now she's got a dilemma. Am I going to trust God, or am I going to trust my desire? Am I going to trust God, or am I going to trust what I can control myself? And every single one of us has to answer this question. Is God trustworthy? Now, the psalmist says this, my salvation and my honor depend on who? On God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Now, that doesn't sound like he's too worried, does it? He's saying, listen, you can hang on to a lot of things in the world today. There's a lot of things in life that you can get attracted to. But I'm going to tell you what, God is my refuge. He's my strength. He's my rock. He's the one I'm going to hang on to, because all that other stuff, it's not going to help me like God will. I don't know what I can do with that, but I know what God can do. And then it goes on and says this, trust him At all times, you people, that's what he's talking to, you people. Yeah, that's right. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. You see, if you've got worries today, if you've got fears, then you can pour them out to God. Why? Because he's our refuge and he is trustworthy. So the first thing I want you to see is God is trustworthy. You can count on him. You can count on him in the past. You can count on him today. You can count on him tomorrow. He's trustworthy. Now, it's not just what he does, but it's who he is. He's a God that you can trust. He is deserving of our confidence because he has proven himself to us over and over and over again. I'm going to give you three reasons today why God is trustworthy. There are others, but I'm just going to give you three today. The first one is this. God has been faithful before. I want you to think about your own life. I want you to think about what God did for you in the past. I want you to think about how God made a way where there was no way. When you were at the end of your rope and you didn't have a clue how you were going to get there, maybe you had to pay a bill, or maybe you had to take care of somebody who was sick, or maybe you were praying for your child, or maybe something really, really serious was going on, and you said, you know, I can't do it, God. You're going to have to help me, and God came through for you. I want you to think about those times, because when you remember those times in the past, it gives you strength for today, and it'll give you strength for tomorrow. Think about Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Psalms, and the minor prophets. There's a theme going through there in the Old Testament. And Moses says to the people of God who are about to be delivered from Egyptian slavery, he says this in Exodus, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you departed from Egypt, from the house of slavery. For by a powerful hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. He's saying, we're getting ready to leave here. We've been slaves here forever. God's going to deliver us out of here. We couldn't get out of here. We tried. We never could get out. But now God's made a way. I want you to remember this day. I want you to remember what God is doing for you. This is a miracle that we're going to get out of slavery. We're going to leave here. He's got a place for us to go. It's a promised land, and we can go claim it. Aren't you thankful for what God has done for the rest of your life? You will never forget this day. And that's what he's telling them. Moses said, remember that God was faithful to you before. Remember the fact that when you cried out for mercy, God heard you. Remember that God delivered you from the most powerful ruler on the face of the earth. And he did it by 10 miraculous plagues. Remember what God did when you got to the Red Sea and he made a way for you and you weren't stopped by the water. Remember how he parted the water and you were able to walk through and you crossed through on dry land, but he stopped the most powerful military force on earth in their tracks. Remember when you were in the wilderness and you wanted God's presence and he came to you as a cloud by day and a fire by night. Remember when you got thirsty? Who was it that gave you water? It was God. Remember that. Remember when you got hungry? It was God who gave you manna to eat. Remember that God has been faithful before, and God is trustworthy, and you can count on him in the future to do it again. And so the Israelites practice. Anytime God would do something significant, they would pile up stones, rocks, and they would make a memorial. Hey, on this day, in this place, this is what God did. And we're going to pile up these rocks and make a monument, a memorial. And every time we pass by here, that's going to remind us, I remember what God did. And I'm so grateful for that. When Jacob wrestled with the angel on the river, when Moses brought the Ten Commandments, they would walk by and remember what God had done. And not just that he had done it in the past, but he could do it in the future. He's trustworthy. You can count on him. How do you know that God is trustworthy? Because he's been faithful before. Maybe you remember some high water marks when you need to pile up some stones in your life. Maybe it's when God spoke to you one day And he said, I want you to come to me, and I'm going to forgive you of your sins. And you just trusted him. And even though you thought, I'm not worthy, you didn't let that stop you. You didn't listen to the enemy. And you said, Lord, here I am. Send me. I accept you as my Savior. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to remember this time that I made this commitment. Maybe it's when you had a child who was baptized. Maybe it's when something else significant happened in your life. There are some of those experiences for me. I won't tell you all of them, but I will share five with you today. When I got saved, I remember that. It's significant. It was very real, and it's just as real today as it was all those years ago when it happened for me. The second thing is when I answered the call to the ministry, I knew that God was calling me into the ministry, and I knew that I would say yes, and I was so thankful. And looking back on it, what a privilege it's been, but I'm not through. I still get to serve him today. I'm thankful because I remember when he sent Laura to me, and I married her, and what a blessing she's been. 44 years this December. Can you believe she stayed married to me all that time? Pray for her, will you? The fourth thing, hey, when God gave us our children, and now they're grown and a blessing and we enjoy them. And then when God gave us our granddaughter, what a blessing that is. We've ordered more grandchildren, but everything's backed up on Amazon. They haven't gotten here yet. It's off the coast of California on a ship somewhere, but we know that it's coming, right? Now, number two, God is faithful today. Amen? He's faithful. You're here today. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't believe that God was faithful. God led the Israelite children to the land that it was promised to them, right to the entrance of that land. Now, what happened was the Israelites, they said, okay, we're going to send in 12 spies to go into the promised land to see that we might possess it. And they went in there. 10 of those 12 spies came back and said, hey, we can't go in there. Why not? There are giants in that land. They're so big, they make us look like grasshoppers. There's no way that we can defeat them. But two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, God has given us the promised land. Let us go in and possess the land that has already been given to us. In other words, I'm not going to worry about what I see. I'm not going to get caught up in the circumstances. I don't really care what the enemy says. I'm trusting God. And he says that's the promised land. And if he says it, I'm going in there and he will provide for me. Amen. And so it goes on and he says, only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people of the land because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Did you know that you and God make a majority every time? You can beat anybody if you and God take them on together. Now, one-on-one, the enemy's had thousands of years of practice, and he can snuff you out if you go to battle with him. But with the Lord on your side, hey, who can be against you, right? And so Joshua understood success is not dependent on what we see. It's not dependent on the opposition that we face. It is dependent on the presence of God in my life and yours. If I've got God, who can be against me? And there's good news. Jesus in Matthew, he says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Did you know you've got God with you today? You didn't come here by yourself. You're with God. Every day when you get up, you say, Lord, now take my hand. Let's walk together. You show me where you want me to go. And every day, it's a new journey. It's a new opportunity. It's fresh. And I'm going to read you a word, and I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to trust you because you have blessed me, and I believe in you. The good news is that Jesus Christ is with us. How do we know that God's faithful? How do we know that he's trustworthy? Because of our past experiences. We know it for a fact. And today, as we turn to him, he doesn't say, I'm going to give you an absence of problems. The Bible says you're going to have hardship in this life. You're going to have problems. You just get ready. You can get ready for it. It's not the absence of problems, but it's the presence of God. That's what makes a difference. Hey, I got problems, but you know what? I got God, so everything's going to be all right. You know, they're going to come, they're going to go, but I'm still going to have God, and we're still going to get there together. You remember when you were a kid and your parents would take you in and tuck you in at night, and they'd get to all the covers just right, and they'd kiss you, and you'd say prayers together, and then they'd go back in the den, and you'd get up in about 10 seconds, and you'd walk back in there, and you'd say, I can't go to sleep, I need a drink of water. And they say, get some water, and they get back to bed. And so you get some water and you go back to bed, and then you get up in a few minutes and you walk back in there. I can't go to sleep, I'm not tired. And they would say, go back to bed. And then you would go back to bed, but then you would come back in there and you would say, I can't go to sleep, I hear noises, and that's keeping me awake. And you just keep trying to wear them down until they would get up and say, would you like for me to lay down with you? And you say, yeah, I would. And so they get you all tucked in, and then they'd lay down on top of the cover in there, and they'd lay down with you. Now, let me ask you a question. What changed? Nothing. You're still in bed, same place you were before, right? And yet, everything had changed. Why? Because somebody you trust, somebody who can take care of you, was right there beside you. That's the way God is. God is a loving heavenly Father. You can't ask him anything too trivial. You're not going to bother him. You can talk to him about anything, anytime, and you can say, Lord, thank you for loving me and saving me. I got this problem. Would you help me with this? He said, what do you think? I'll be glad to. You can ask me anytime. I'm right here. The third thing is that God will be faithful tomorrow. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Because it's Monday. Tomorrow. We all know how Mondays are, right? Do you ever have a Monday on a Thursday? Sometimes you say, how's it been today? Well, it was like a Monday, but it was Thursday. I don't know. It just didn't quite go right. But you know what? God was with me, so I'm not going to complain. I'm good. And God led the Israelites to the promised land. And they knew that they could trust him. They knew that he was faithful. But now hear this. He said, go in and take the land. What did they do? They didn't go in. They're standing right there, but they won't go in the promised land. Now, trust is not something you have. Trust is a verb. It's something you do. And that's how you'll know if you trust. If I just think about it, I don't have any trust. But if I do something about it, yeah, I trust, and I'm going to act on it. And I need to step into the promised land. But you know, God had already written the end of the story. He'd already promised, it's yours. I've already given it to you. All you got to do is go in there. You just got to take advantage of it. It's right there. And right before they sent the spies out to the promised land in Numbers, here's what it said. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am thinking about giving to the Israelites. I've been pondering that. I might give to the, he said, which I am giving to the Israelites. And so now they can take advantage of it. See, the end of the story has already been written. All they've got to do is take advantage of it. You know, and I tell you what, I got to tell you, it makes me feel good because God's chosen people, the Israelites, the children of God, they did not do what God was calling them to do. That makes me feel better. You know why? Because sometimes I'm afraid to do what God calls me to do. Sometimes he says, I want you to do something totally different you've never done before. Oh, no, no, no. You got the wrong number. You're not talking to me. That's my brother. He's the one. Listen, let me tell you what his number is. You call him my sister over here. It's anybody else but me. I can't do it. Okay, Lord, I'll go to Niceville, Florida, and I'll go down there and I'll work in that church for a year, but I'm not going into the ministry. famous last words. You know, I don't know what I would talk about every Sunday morning. And that's the same way you feel. What in the world is he talking about on Sunday morning when I preach? I can't wait to hear what I'm going to say on Sunday morning when I get up here. All those years ago, over 45 years ago, he called me into the ministry. And what a blessing it's been, but it's not over. What an opportunity. You know, I could have said no. But you know, I knew that he was calling me and I just had to say yes. What is it in your life that you're hanging on to today? What is it you're worried about? What is it that you refuse to let go of? You've held on to this so long, you think, if I let go of this, that's all I've got. I don't have anything else to hold on to. In Revelation, it says this, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down. I love it. He said, write it down. He said, for the words are trustworthy and true. He says, what I'm telling you, you can bank on it. You can count on it. You can believe it because it's true. You're a follower of Christ. You know what he's done for you in the past. You know what he's doing for you today. You know what he'll do for you in the future. But here's your question, your nagging question that you keep hanging on to, and that's this. Well, God, what about the thing I'm really worried about? I've trusted you with everything else, but this is really big. This is bigger than I am. And I don't know what to do. And I'm really desperate. And I don't know how to get through this. And I'm just struggling to give it up to you and to trust you and to move forward. The scripture says, I am he, the Lord. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you, and I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. I don't know if you've ever experienced it before, but I got to tell you, a lot of times in my life, I've been rescued by God. I made some boneheaded decisions when I was growing up. I made some foolish choices. And God said, it's okay. I still love you. And let's take care of this. And let's get your life straightened down. And I'm always going to be here. There's nothing you can do except turn your back on me and not allow me to forgive you. That's the only way that I want to always be right here for you to help you. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And so he's trustworthy. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about that thing you've been worrying about and you've been hanging on to, and you got it. You brought it with you today. You take it everywhere you go. And you've been holding on to it, and you're struggling to let go of it. Now, I want you to think about it for just a minute. This thing that you're holding on to is keeping you from being closer to God. This thing that you've been worrying about, and it's been taking years off your life for all this time, and it's keeping you from being the person God wants you to be, he created you to be, and he's going to help you be. Why in the world are you holding on to it? Today, right now, I want to ask you, let it go. And take hold of the hands of God. Put it down and take hold of him. You're carrying around dead weight that can only end in death. Get rid of it. Put it down and turn to God, because I promise you he's trustworthy. I promise you he'll deliver you. I promise you, you'll get to where he wants you to go. And where else would you want to be except with him? But you've got to trust him. You've got to give it to him, because as long as you hold on to whatever that is, It is a sorry substitute for who God is and what he can do. There's a reason that Jesus died on the cross. You say, well, he can't forgive me. Yes, he can. He already has. You just got to take advantage of it. You think, well, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. You know, Jesus died before you were even born. You think that matters? He says, don't listen to the enemy. That's a lie. He said, you just put it down and come to me. I promise you. I promise you I'm trustworthy. Just like you trusted your parents when you were a kid in bed, you can trust God today. And because he's with you, all things are possible. And all God's children said.
Amen.
I'm going to ask those who are helping to serve communion to come forward today and prepare the elements if they would. As they're doing that, let me just say to you that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take this and eat it. This is my body. And then also he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, now pass this around. This is my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And so today you're going to come and receive communion. And when you do that, here's what you're doing. First of all, you hear the invitation that God gives. And you think to yourself, I'm going to take advantage of that. You don't have to be a member of the church. You don't have to live here. If you hear the invitation and you want to come walk with Jesus, you can come take communion. But before you come, you confess your sins. Here's the invitation. Now here's my confession. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cast my sins as far as the east is from the west so that I can be forgiven by you. And then you come and you receive communion and you remember what Jesus did for you and you say, thank you, Jesus. You didn't have to die for me, but you did. Thank you for doing that for me. You made all the difference in my life and all eternity. Thank you. And then when you leave today, the fourth thing, when you leave today, you can't be in the presence of God without being different. You think about it, being with God all the time. When you go out of here, you're not going by yourself. He's going with you. Wherever you go today or this week, you're going to be a witness for God. You're going to be his hands and feet and voice and ears. You're going to be his heart. You're going to be out there and you're just going to have a sensitivity and the Holy Spirit is going to work through you and you're going to have divine appointments. Somebody's going to ask you a question this week and that's the best time to answer when they ask. And you say, Lord, what'd I tell them? Sometimes you need to just listen. Sometimes you need to speak. You ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and you go out and you be a witness for God because you know what? There's a lot of people around us who are far from God. They don't know him. They don't know anything about him. They don't have a clue. They don't. Nobody's ever told them. And somebody told you. And that may be your chance to say, let me tell you about the most important thing that ever happened to me. It's when Jesus saved me. And you know, God will just prepare their hearts. And they'll listen and they'll receive him. If it's something you feel led to do by God, the Holy Spirit will speak through you. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'll do it. I'm scared to death. But if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. And let him take care of the rest. All right. Now, let me tell you this. Any money that you put up here goes to the We Care Fund. It's a food pantry. And we help people in need. And every year, it's run totally by volunteers. There's no paid employees. And every year, because of your generosity, we receive over $70,000. It's not even in the budget because you give to other people. You know, God made it so, he says in the Bible, Jesus said, the poor will always be with you. Did you know he said that? He said, the poor will always be with you. He said, I won't always be here, but the poor will always be with you. Wonder why that is. Could it be that God wants those of us who have to share with those who do not? That's what we teach our children. That's what we teach our grandchildren. And the best way to teach them is by practicing it, by doing it, and letting them see it. You know, in Africa, when they take up the offering, They run to the altar to give their offering like little children. You see a child in church and they're passing the plate. They say, give me some money. I want to give. I'll put some in for you. No. I want to do it myself. And they're so happy to do that. And Jesus said, we need to be more like them and celebrate what they celebrate. So today, I invite you to come. Now listen. When you leave, if you're a member of this church, that's your opportunity to give God his tithe and then your gifts and offerings to him. He said, that's the number one priority. He said, you do that first. You give me the tithe. The reason is so you'll learn to trust me in that area. And he says, you have to do it. You have to practice it for it to work. And then anything above and beyond that that you want to put up here, that's above and beyond the first priority that God gives us in his word. And I want to thank you in advance for your generosity today. And all God's children said, amen.